Let me see if it's working first. Okay. Today is October
30th,
1985, and I'm talking with Julia Pesterkoff and Alice Spraker in Port Lyons, Alaska. Let me ask you first what your ages are, where you were born, and your name before you were married.
My real name is Alexandra.
Oh.
Alexandra Knagin. Mm-hmm. That was my maiden name, Alexandra Knagin. And of course, when I was little, you know, everybody used to call me Alanda.
Mm-hmm.
And how that started was my niece Nina Olsen. Mm-hmm. You know her.
Right. Yeah.
She couldn't say Alexandra when she was little. It came out Alanda.
Oh, I see.
So that's how I got that nickname. In fact, I have a grandchild. They named her after me. They call her Alanda.
Really?
Yeah, you can tell you're
Una Knagin.
And when were you born, Julia? What's the age difference?
Oh. I'm 66 years old. I was born from March 17, 1919. I'm a true Irish Aleut. St. Patrick's Day,
yeah,
I was born.
Great.
Yeah. I'm 69. I was born May 28,
1960. Okay. In a fog neck. What was a fog neck like then? I've heard people describe it the way it was divided up. But I've never seen pictures of it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, the see that the village was kind of a spread out,
flat,
and it was spread out. It wasn't like it is here. The side we lived on, they called it Aleut Town. And on the other side, of course, there was a little whatever you call it. But anyway, the other side they called it Derevnya.
Whatever that means.
I don't know what that meant. But anyway, our side, we called it Aleut Town, the side we lived in.
North End. And then in Aleut it's called Ahuanuk.
Yeah, Ahuanuk. Ahuanuk. That's what they called the village. It was just open, nor'easter, or we used to get it.
Really?
Yeah.
Like sea rolling.
Yeah.
What were your parents, Aleut Russian or?
Papa was part Russian,
mm-hmm.
part Aleut. Excuse me. And he was born in Lillefognak. I guess there was a little village there years ago. That's where he was born. And he was blue-eyed, almost a platinum blonde.
Mm.
And Mama was born in Uganik. She was full-blooded Aleut. Mm. We all took after Mama. None of us, have blue eyes or light hair.
True, but they didn't live.
Oh, that's right, too high. I always forget about them because they were born and they died when they were little. Huh?
Two, was that sisters or brothers?
Sister and brother, yeah.
Yeah.
They're the ones that took after Dad.
So you were the other two and you took after your mom?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's quite a few of us.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. We had three brothers besides the one that passed away. We had a brother... We called him Prontka. His name was Robert, but everybody called him Prontka.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Freddy, of course Fred, and then Willie.
Mm-hmm.
Then from the sisters, Christina, that's Nina's mother.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of people called her Amy, where mm-hmm. she got that name from, we don't know. And then Palla. We used to call her Palla. Her real name was Polly.
Mm-hmm.
And then Julia. Her name is, of course, Julia.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fiona. should have put them down. Fiona, she was the youngest one. Mm-hmm. Her real name was Flora. And then, of course, myself. Everybody called me Alanda. My real name is Alexandra. Mm-hmm. And Julia and I are the only ones left. The rest of them passed away.
And you said your mom was full-blooded Aleut. When mm-hmm. people ask you, do you consider yourselves Aleuts or Russian Aleuts? Or?
Well, we put three fourths.
Right? Yeah, we consider ourselves Russian Aleut because Papa, you know, he was part Russian. So when we do put down, we put three fourths Aleut.
I wonder because sometimes people say that the Russian influence was stronger on this part of the island mm-hmm. than the Favnik.
Uh-huh. Now, like Papa, his parents, we don't really know where they came from.
Mm-hmm. Well, the last, like a grandpa, they said he came from Kenai. Maybe he just lived there for a while and where he really came from.
Uh-huh.
But also the language must been an important thing. You grew up speaking Aleut?
Mm. Oh yeah, that's all we spoke was Aleut. In fact, when I first started school, the only thing I could say in English was hello.
Mm-hmm.
I always think, my goodness, the teacher must have had a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all.
So you spoke at home was Aleut?
That's all we spoke was Aleut.
Mm. Did you know any Russian also, or just?
We understand, but then Papa never spoke to us. Mama, you know, she tried what little she knew,
mm-hmm.
but most of it in Aleut, but like we understand
mm-hmm.
English.
And when you went to school, what was that like? They didn't want you to speak Aleut?
No, mm-hmm. Ma.
Well, I got spanked.
Yeah, well, we got our own Aleut language.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about the language, that's right, when mm-hmm. first went to school.
Yeah. Well, I remember when I got spanked myself for, you know, speaking in our language, you know.
I did too, in school.
And now that, now they want to get it back, you know. Well, which is nice. Like my daughter too, Helen. She's been after me. You and Julia should sit down and, you know,
make a recording
mm-hmm.
like this. Do you remember things? Well, maybe you could say some things. Do you remember stories or anything in Aleut, or songs or things that you learned? What was it?
Well, I know Julia knows some songs in Aleut.
Like, I can't alone. I have to have Martha McVeigh's help.
Oh. Well, like, yeah, you've heard how they go caroling, you know, from home to home, like at Christmas time, Russian Christmas.
Starring
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few songs they sing in Aleut.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other one. Monokai.
Pukashkat na lun herngut pirsidam sariani. There's a Russian again.
Nalun
ehalugu kangirjilu ku.
Tamkhna murtho kaiku nami nagnashka. Ushwilkha kukshwilna.
Is that about wise men?
Yeah. I know you mentioned it yesterday, but
yeah,
it
the
doesn't
wise
seem like
it was all Dakhchari Vada Nakhchari Ningkhutu Dakhti Vatos, you know, presented them
to that's
Jesus.
What it is. It's about the wise men. Because they do say about the silver and gold and incense.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. The wise men, you know, presented uh-huh. those back to Ushil. To Jesus.
Uh-huh.
God wise men. The other one.
Sounds beautiful. It's
mm-hmm.
a beautiful language.
And the other one is The last one, the elder sing now.
What? No, Gaia.
Well, in Aleut.
Amlachtut. Amlachtut kiaduk. Amlachtut kiaduk. Amlachtut kiaduk. Many, 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 many happy new.
That's what it is. Amukhtit Kiyakit.
Amukhtit Kiyakit. Sounds so pretty.
But then that was a different tune from what we sang in Arabic.
Yeah, well.
Same.
It means the same thing.
Same words.
Mm-hmm. Many happy new years. Yeah.
It sounds like a difficult language to learn when I hear people speaking.
Uh-huh.
And then like me, when I do, I really speak it way down
in your
deep.
Throat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's
yeah. How do you form a sentence? And like when you, if you wanted to say, I went to the store yesterday, how do you put those words together?
Can
you say that?
Is that right?
That's Russian. Ajani knows it. But that's Lavka is fine. Lavka.
That's how you'd say it anyway. Akwak Lavka Manakashang.
Is one of those words I, like, is there a separate pronoun like there is in English?
I. Hui. Hui. Hui Akashang. I win.
Would you like to teach it if they started a program?
Oh, they've been asking us.
Yeah.
I have a little. I don't have it here. Michelle has it. Like, you know, words in Aleut and they're written in English.
Oh, the dictionary they did at Fairbanks?
Mm. Yeah. Well, a lot of them are way of saying it, though.
Mm-hmm. From Kodak down to as far as Perryville, you know, different. And we were trying to correct ours, but then this, was it Marie Simeonov? She was getting the stuff. Well, same thing, like, you know, but we say Cheshkak, and they'd say Tsaskak.
Cheshkak, that's cup.
Mm-hmm. And it's different down in the South End.
Uh-huh. They
put more suck in it than we do, and say, I want to speak it really good.
I met that man in Fairbanks who made the dictionary. Jeff Lear.
Jeff Lear, yeah, while he was in Kodiak, and Irene Reed.
Yeah.
The only thing that kind of struck me funny was, you know, he was writing, pronouncing them real in Aleut, and he wrote, and he was real serious, and he said, Kalok. It's been a long time since I had Kalok, and I burst out laughing.
What does that mean?
Body.
Who said that?
The Jeff Lear. He was writing it.
Oh, Kalok.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I burst out laughing. I hadn't heard that for years, and he was real serious, Carlo.
He knew what it meant.
Mm-hmm. He pronounced it, and the minute he pronounced it, I burst out laughing. I said, it's been a long time since I heard that, Carlo. Well, we didn't have any indoor, you know, we'd use the
party. We had outhouses, so when it's cold, because we had those parties, Carlo. That's right.
Since a long time I heard. I heard you just go.
We were talking before about the ways that things were different when you were young, different foods that you ate. Because I was interested in how people took care of their health before there were doctors. It seemed like people were pretty healthy then.
Mm-hmm. Well, like like I say, here, how they used to salt fishing in those great big barrels. They'd have about four or five of them. Because we were quite a big family.
Mm-hmm.
Not only as other families, too.
Did you fish together?
Do you know if Kathleen and Irene baked today?
Yeah, like we say, we ate seal and ducks and butter clams and mussels and bear meat and seagulls, young ones, like she
and
said.
Sea lion.
How did you fix it? Maybe you could tell me the Aleut words for those, some of those things.
Like fish, iqaluk. And salted fish. Shulunak. Salted fish, shulunak, yeah. And smoked salmon. What's that?
Balak.
Catfish, amudak. Sculpin,
kalak.
Butter clams, mamayat. Mussels, ukhidat. No. Mussels, kabil. Kabil.
I don't even get the joke. I can't understand it.
Oh, and then, what did I call the other ones? The badaki.
Ukhidat.
I wonder what they call those. Do you know what you call the badaki in English?
Those
things that stick to the rocks?
Thank you.
Oh, that might be it.
What?
Chitons.
Oh. Mm,
that sounds right. I'll look it up in the book when I get back. I'll check
it out. I know. Ukhidat,
yeah.
How did you call it?
Chitons.
Chitons?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Did you fish together as a family in the summer, or did mainly the men fish?
Well, in the fall after fishing season, they'd go for home use, and now we gotta get a subsistence, and we're allowed, 25 per person.
Mm. In those days, They didn't.
As much as we can, like, make smoked salmon and dried fish. And
oh, I forgot about the dried fish. Oh. What did they call that in Arabic?
Tammut.
Dried fish. Tammut. Papa used to take us when he went fishing in like Malina Beach and then Paramount.
And like a little Pognak and Danger Bay Letnik for fishing.
Mm.
But then, I mean, they used to take us along for trapping and rowing. There was no outboards. And each time, like, we'd make a stop and they had those barabras, whatever, you know. We'd stop. I don't remember how long it really took, maybe 2-3 days. All depends on the weather.
Danica.
Rowing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one they call Village Island now, where we used to go.
Mm-hmm.
There was homes there. Mm-hmm. There was three of them.
And there was a church.
Yeah, there was a church there. There was a village at one time. Mm-hmm. But when Papa took us there, there was no one there. Then the church was still standing there, and there was three houses there. We lived in one.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we used to go sliding,
mm-hmm.
sealskin sliding. We didn't have sleds.
Oh, really? You used sealskin?
We used a sealskin. Uh-huh. And then, didn't you say Mama too made the slippers for us out of sealskin?
Really?
Then we'd slide all that work and effort, and one morning she must have went and put the sand, and we tried to wash that sand off. Well, when we wore those, there was something like, not really like mucklucks, but like some person would slide way down with those, and all that work she did with them, you know.
And she put sand in it so we wouldn't wear out the slippers she made.
And we didn't have a wood stove where to bake bread, but she made a brick. And that's where she used to bake bread. And there was a little hole she put her hand, you know, like we checked that to know about, what is it, 350, we bake an oil heater. She test before she puts the bread in. Boy, they're good tasting.
Oh, it is sure good. She dare build a fire in that. She used the rocks though, didn't she?
Bricks.
Oh, bricks, eh? Oh, see, some of the stuff like that, I don't remember. And then when they got down to coals, that's when she put the bread in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was good.
And again, like our uncle's wife, she used to just make a hole, and then, you know, when it turns into coals, in a pot she baked bread round. She just built
and,
a pot.
And just cover it.
Cover it with sand and bake her bread on the beach.
That's been good.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think people were healthy back then, eating other foods from outside?
Yeah, like that gardening too, you know. In the spring they'd go and get all that kelp, dory load. They used to have gardens all over in the fog neck. Great big gardens. Potatoes, my goodness. And then they put them in a
cellar.
In a cellar, yeah.
That's how you
they'd dig under, you know, put it in underground.
Keep them for the winter?
Yeah. Fresh potatoes and, you know, like rutabagas and turnips. Others, I guess they had carrots and stuff. Other kind of vegetables.
Lettuce.
What did people do when they did get sick? Did they?
They took care of themselves. Like if anyone had a fever, And then, you know, they used to cut the potatoes,
slice them,
and then put it in a rag. Some just used potatoes and put them on the bottom of the feet, you know, to draw the fever down. But some would sprinkle a little vinegar. And then, you know, when they'd leave them overnight, the next morning those potatoes would be just black, draw the fever down. And then, well, there's some lot of these herbs. They've been after me to show different kinds, like there's sarsaparilla and others I can't think of right now, you know, they use for medicine. And that and those days too, I guess it must have been for high blood pressure, they used to lens. And then
lens.
They had
a
horn and they draw the
they
blood.
They did that up here too, I didn't know that. I've met some people from Kukui.
But isn't that the outlaw that they're not to do
they
that?
They still do that in some parts of Alaska. Up north they do. And maybe still down in Akyak, I don't know. Did they have a name for that?
Well, there was two different ways. In some they do it on the vein, and others they pick the skin up and just poke right through.
Who did that, Julia? Was it a special person? I had to know how to do it?
Had to. There isn't any more.
They used a cow horn
to draw the blood, suck the blood out. And there was a little skin, I guess. And then I don't know when it was done, they covered that little, I guess after they draw the skin. And then like they did it for the heart too, certain thing for heart trouble. But there's hardly known. Our brother did that here. Willie.
Yeah.
He knew how to do that?
But like now, you know, they're gone.
I wonder who else on the Fagnik knew how to do that? Was there one person that was like a doctor?
Oh, there were several. That
do you remember who they were?
Anana is one of them.
Anana.
Constantine.
Was that his name, Constantine?
And then,
everybody called him Anana.
And then his brother, Kittak. But I don't know his real name. Well, like those were from Lilafagnak. There too, there was a village and there was a church in Lilafagnak. And then like, are you finished with all these?
So,
like we were talking about seal stomach.
Oh, yeah.
They'd blow and let it dry, blow it up, and just like
you know,
a balloon.
Like a balloon.
Uh-huh.
Blow it up.
To preserve, like, some of them just, well, them days they didn't have any jars. Then they'd put oil, seal oil, or bear oil, whatever, and some even put berries right into that. And then, you know, they'd hang it outside to dry, and then they'd put seal oil, whatever. And then when the northeast comes, that thing would be just flopping against the wall.
Yeah, I remember.
And then their, what, intestines? They braided.
Yeah.
Old Fred Lokin still knows how to. They used to cut slit, you know, and then soak it. And they'd put a little fat inside that and braid it. It's something like sausage.
Oh.
Fred Lokin knows how to braid it, and I want him to show us. They'd have a little
stick. The guts of a seal. Huh. They'd wash it off real good, and then they'd cut a chunk of seal fat, and then just braid that seal gut. Mm-hmm. Around it. Oh, that I remember.
It's
that
good.
Was good.
And then
I can't eat it now.
And also the flippers. Seal flippers.
Yeah. Papa used to eat the seal flippers, the fur and all.
Oh, really?
Well, it's real, you know, real thin, but that I couldn't see. One time some guy came down from Hatcher, of course, our dad didn't think anything of it, you know. He was eating those flippers, you know, skin and all. Fur enough.
Yeah. I don't think I could eat seal either. It's been years since I've had.
I think the last time I had seal was about five or 6 years ago up in Raspberry. Our nephew Harry brought us. Of course, he just got a piece of fat, but usually, like our dad, they used to leave a little fat right under ribs,
mm-hmm.
separate. So we put the bay leaf, garlic, and we were eating Johnny, and I tried to offer my son Freddie. He said, "No, Mama, it's been years since I had." And Johnny and I were just enjoying.
Really?
He said, "Mama, let me try a piece." And he almost finished for us. And Richard, too, when he saw his dad eating, he said, "Grandma, let me try." And he says, "Boy, this is good. Wait till I get to Port Lance and tell Karen I had a seal meat."
Yes. You still eat very much of those kinds of foods?
If I see it, if anybody brings me. But I wouldn't cook it in the house. It stinks. Under the house.
Yeah, when Papa would take us trapping, you know, for the winter, we'd leave about October, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And we'd be there till, March, April.
Where'd you go?
We went to Uganek.
Ah.
Like I told you, in a row.
Right.
Julia has mentioned to me several times how when we were storm bound and we had to stay in a barabra, and Mama was cooking cereals, and you know there was just hay and no, there was no flooring.
They were sod houses, right? There was some underground.
No, it wasn't underground.
Just didn't have a flooring.
Yeah,
just
no
dry,
flooring.
No hay.
Dry hay. She always mentions how I was just stumbling over that hay when I smelled that cereal cooking.
Well, the watchman brought the cereal down.
Oh.
She was so excited. She was stumbling on that hay, you know, wanting to get to that cereal. And it was just a little place smaller than this, and all of us, Mom and Dad on the floor on the other side, us on the other side of the table, three of us, you know,
mm-hmm.
and just a little stove, a small little place.
This one time, you know, Mike Rodsted
mm-hmm.
from Kadiak Times, he came over and he was asking us, "Well, when you, Papa," we called him Papa, "take us, you know, to Uganek and spend the winter. How did we amuse ourselves?" We couldn't think of course, isn't that when we mentioned my sister Flora and I? We pretended we were playing the record player, you know, those old-fashioned type where you crank it up. I'd get a hold of her arm and crank it up, or she'd crank my arm and then we'd put it on her forehead, the needle, you know. start singing, I love to call you my sweetheart. Honest, I love you, I do.
And you were phonics.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
And Julia has mentioned to me too, well, flashlights were something else to us in those days too. And it was during day, according to her, we were looking for something underneath the bed, whatever it was.
Daytime.
Daytime, yeah. And my sister Flo must have said, Schlashleich, because she couldn't say flashlight. Schlashleich.
Alanda, Schlashleich, look, it was, you know, sunshine. It was just the idea wanting to use that flashlight.
I was just telling Julia, too, before you came, my mama used to have a can or container of some kind where she had buttons.
Mm.
I was digging around in there and I found a nickel. I was wishing I had a place to spend it. There was no store. Yeah.
Couldn't get around.
Yeah, well, Mama passed away when, in 1926, did you say? Or 27?
26.
26, okay, I was born 1919, so I was 7 years old.
I was 12.
Uh-huh. And your dad raised you up after that?
Dad died in 34,
I guess.
No. Same year he died, I got married in
1936.
Yeah.
36.
Mm-hmm. He died when in March or April?
March.
And that same fall I got married.
Mm-hmm. How did you meet your husbands? Was that something that your families tried to arrange it for you back then or no?
No. I went to work in the cannery in Kodiak. I didn't want to marry the guy. I wanted to go home. I told him I got to go home and get my clothes first. He says, oh, you could get them after we get married. So I told him, well, I've got to go home and get the permission from my oldest sister, Christina. He says, well, your brother Robert is here, could get the permission from him. So I married him. I didn't want to get married.
Another one was this, we had kerosene lamps. You know, they're kind of dim. And her brother Robert, after he worked in Larsonville, Carlook, he must have bought the gas lamp, and that to us it was bright, you know, enjoying it in the evening. And our dad, we didn't have a front room, just a bedroom, and he'd close the door, you know, trying to sleep. But he was nice at first, you know, for us not to be noisy, you know, not to talk loud, that we kept him awake. So third time he come out, he didn't know how to turn the valve. He just poked the mantles. Know how to turn.
Joey, how did you meet your husband and get married?
Oh, right in a fog, no?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
He was from a fog.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was born in New York and moved to a fog night when he was 2 years old. So he grew up in a fog night.
How old were you when you got married?
Oh, I was married before. The first time I got married when I was 16, a guy from Carlook. Well, then before then, well, you know, we were brought up kind of strict, just to get out of Papa's hands. And I told my girlfriend, I said, I don't care who comes along this fall, I'm going to get married, even if it's an old man. And this guy comes from Carlook, you know, proposed to me. And I married him, and it wasn't even 2 years. Well, then it was hard to get a chance, you know. It was a mail boat.
Mm-hmm.
Used to come to Carlook. No, I came on a Chilcat. Came home.
Mm-hmm.
Left him. But I went to tell him, you know, they were pitching fish. I said, I'm going home. But he did try to, well, he was real nice and a good provider. I always remember in the spring, big skiff, whatever. And there was cases of oranges, apples, and hindquarters. And I told this one lady, are those bear hindquarters? And she said, no, they're beef.
Oh, really?
For, you know, people, their husbands sent from Larsen Bay.
Ah.
Wow.
we've never seen those, you know, like oranges and apples in cases, you know. Well, there was about, what did I get, about 3 hindquarters. I just had them hanging in the shed. I told the different ones, you know, go and help yourself. And my mother-in-law tried to tell me, you know, to can.
Save it.
I don't know, I had no time to can. And then, like, when I first went, they didn't have store hours like here, you know, every 2-3 days, and they had a certain hour, and they didn't have they didn't know what to do with themselves. They had coupons. They'd go to a store and just to be buying. They really didn't need anything. So at first I didn't want to do that. Finally I joined. Well, they I guess Ovid did it. That's why they put them on coupons and so much every month. And I always remember I went to one woman's place and I saw this. I thought it was just a plain cupboard. And then, you know, in the wooden stoves, they used to open the lid so the cooking will boil fast, and then, you know, they'd be smoked up. And I went over and I was thinking, this is all varnished. It was a
mahogany.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, how they set the dishes and silverware. What is that called? But this lady, she used it for a cupboard.
Really?
Just beautiful out in the corridor, and it was smoked up pots and pans. Buffet. But it had a door and drawer, and the door happened to be open. Smoked up pots and pans.
This was in Carlin?
Mm-hmm.
Did you like living down there, Julie? Was it different?
Different.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like at home, you know, the grass, well, we had cows, you know, mm-hmm. in Carlock, you know, tall grass, especially in the fall, you know, the wind would blow the tall grass. Oh, that's when I always remember I got lonesome. I wanted to come home, but you couldn't get away. There was no place there.
Oh, Mama had chickens,
mm-hmm.
didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
And she used to sell them for, what did you say, 20 cents a dozen?
Oh, sometimes, you know, I remember one time, I don't know which one was. Which one of us was to have a birthday. She'd send me to Patella's store just to trade for a can of fruit and whatever, you know, for baking. Didn't sell them, just traded for shakes.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you moved back to Ofagnac after that?
Uh-huh. After I came back, that's when I, you know,
mm-hmm.
maybe, what year was it? I don't even remember.
That's
well, nevertheless, we're together for John and I 50 years. Last September was 50 years.
Really?
Since, I mean, we've been together.
Yeah.
At first, you know, I just lived with him.
Mm-hmm.
But when Freddie came along and when he was going to go to school, yeah, it was 50 years, September 18th, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Since you've lived. Been together with him, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
you got
yes.
married when Freddie was what, going to school, 6 or 7?
6, I guess.
He was born in 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42. You must have got married in 42 then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's 50. Like Freddie? No?
No. But you've been together 50.
You've been together.
Yeah,
50.
We've been together because I had Freddie when I was 20.
Mm-hmm. It's a long time. Did anybody, was that something that people gave you a hard time about? If you got together with someone and had a baby and you didn't get married, would the older people say that was okay? Or
I don't know, I guess they had to like it.
They had no choice.
They had no choice.
Oh, sure, they frowned on it. I'm sure they frowned.
But you could do
it's always
anyway.
It's always been like that.
Mm-hmm. When you had your babies on a fog neck, were there were midwives there then?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember who they were, Julia?
Miss
Fiona
Nikolai, Mrs. Nikolai Shertin, and great von Scheele. But then...
That was in later years.
Yeah. Well, when I had Freddie.
Oh.
And they said she's not going to pull through. They went after Mrs. Bowman. And whatever she did, you know.
And Sharatika, too, was a midwife, wasn't she?
Sure. Not this one.
No?
Grandma.
That's what I mean, Sharatika.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whatever her name was.
And then...
What was her name anyway?
Otika. We were... That was Mama's midwife. What was her? Rogel.
Oh, yeah, Rogel.
Mm-hmm, but I don't know why they used to call her. When she used to come, you know, before she comes into the house, you know, she'd be singing to us like her, especially, made up her own song, you know.
What was that for, just to cheer you up that she was singing?
She sang to me, especially to me.
Oh, really?
That song. It has a meaning to it.
But do you think, did you have your kids in the Fatnik too, or did you move to Kodiak?
No, I moved, I got married in 36. Because I got pregnant right away. My first child was, you know, I had a midwife, but the others, by then, there was a doctor there.
Mm-hmm. In town? Mm-hmm. There was a midwife in town then?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mrs. King was my midwife.
Do you think they took better care of you, the midwives? This is some of the people tell me they took really good care of you when you had babies.
Of course they did.
Well, I know whatever it was
they had
now.
Me in bed for 14 days. Nowadays they let you get up right the same day.
Nowadays, you know, doctors put you on a diet. And those days, you know, we call these banya.
Mm-hmm.
They take them to banya and use these weyniki, they call it, you know. And they feel around to see.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them would know too if it's going to be a boy or a girl,
mm-hmm.
just by feeling. I don't know what it was. Heartbeat?
I don't know. Just like, I'm going to come back to now. When my daughter-in-law was pregnant she had the baby June 2nd. But anyway, she was in town 3 weeks waiting for the baby to be born, and Mary Skurtsov.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Alana was with us, you know, and she was just, you know, she thought she was so cute, and she just looked at Michelle, you know, she was just big, due to have a baby anytime. She said, oh, she's going to have a boy.
Really?
Just by looking at her.
Mm-hmm.
Who was that could tell
you? Mary Skurtsov, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She says, she just looked, you know, and says, oh, she's going to have a boy. How they know her? When she left Michelle, you know, her judges, oh, that woman made me feel good. She wanted they wanted a boy. You know?
Really?
Sure enough, it was good.
That's great.
Yeah.
Now, how would you call Aram Mashkar? I don't think there's any Russian name. Remember, we used to.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
How would you call them together and made them like a
beads? Yeah.
But, you know, in those days too, they breastfed their babies. And they'd let them drink this. I was in some by the store the other day. They're not really orange.
I know what you're talking about.
And they brew it like you would tea or coffee, and then the mother would drink it, and you know they'd breastfeed the baby, and then I was told that was to clean the babies.
Yeah.
I don't know if it must have been a laxative or whatever,
mm-hmm.
to clean out the babies.
Mm.
what was it to... I remember they used to call them kanang. What are those? What would...
Kanang, aren't these the ones that are in their yard and, you know, late in July they get those white flowers?
Oh, is that what they are?
And then their leaves are something like ferns.
Uh-huh. What did they use those for? Seems like they use them for something.
Well, like me, like I was talking about pot, I'd clean it real good when I was having trouble with my womb after Freddie. I used to put those and put hot water and just, you know, sit and steam. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I probably would have had a cancer because my womb was torn in and out for 7.5 years.
Really?
And I guess that's what kept me from,
uh-huh.
You know, because when I asked doctor, when I was having trouble after he finally operated, I mean, sewed it back together, and I was still having trouble, he said, oh, how come you decided to ask me now after all these years? I said, well, I just want to know if there was an infection. He said, there was, but I scraped it, and he said, I must have not done a good job.
Oh, really? But you had helped yourself for a number of years to take care of it?
Mm-hmm. Well, like after, you know, like by midwives, and then Freddie was, I don't know after how many years, Great Avant Sheila came with a scale and weighed Freddie. He was 9.5 pounds. He was a big, big baby.
How many kids do you have, Julia?
We just have one.
Freddie. And you have?
I had four. Two girls and two boys. I just have a girl and a boy, the other two are passed. Both from heart.
Four?
Five?
One didn't live, Robert.
I always forget
Ronnie's
about that,
older.
But he lived only quite 5 days.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
The boy, yeah, before Ronnie,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it was before Ronnie.
Was that common for babies to die as infants? That happened a lot? Or?
I don't remember.
But you both moved back to Afavnik and raised your kids up there?
No, I lived in Kodiak.
You stayed in Kodiak?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I just moved here in 82. I lived in Kodiak for 46 years.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh.
Yeah, 36 till 82. So that's 46 years, yeah. I lived in Kodiak.
Did you miss the village?
Not really.
You liked Korea?
What, for at first there, when I first got married, yes, I did. I used to go over there like for Russian Christmas and Easter. I'd go and spend the holidays at home.
I always remember when your daughter Helen took you out. It wasn't really a pantry, you know, where we'd bake like pies. And then those, you know, they used to just cover crust, and then, you know, we piled them one top of another. I always remember Helen said, Mama, come. And she said, look, pies are piled up one top of another. It must have been a hard crust when they piled.
Yeah, I remember the corridor, well, we used to call it Calidor, the corridor,
really?
Calidor. I remember, yeah, Mama, when she'd bake pies. Just
and then another one too, that little storeroom, well, we called it pantry. And in the fall, we had just filled the shelves, two or three shelves, you know, with canned stuff. And Helen went in there, she said, my, this looks like a store. Well, like her, you know, from day to day going to store, she didn't have much room to, you know,
stuff. Just had a two-room cabin.
It's like a store. You can't stop piling up.
I would go to store 2-3 times a day. Of course, we lived close to a store in town. Didn't have no place to put.
Well, like we used to order ours to company in the fall, groceries for
really?
Week.
That was late in later years.
Yes. Did you always make a lot of pies in Perak growing up? Was that a big thing to eat, or is that more recent?
No,
yeah, like on the holidays. Yeah,
way
yeah.
back, like, you know, they didn't, maybe some of them made salad, but then we'd have pirak and duck soup.
Mm. What did you put in your pirak?
Vegetables, fish, fillet the fish in the bottom of the pan, you put the crust, and then you put a layer of vegetables. I put my rice. I cooked the rice and put it right into vegetables and pass it right in.
But
there.
In earlier before we were able to get that stuff. It was just rice and onion and the fish. With the rice and onion on the bottom, and then the fish, and then rice and onion.
And some of them
didn't have vegetables.
Some of them, though, those that had chickens, they'd hard-boil the eggs and slice it and put it on top of the fish before putting rice or whatever. But also, I don't know which time of it, I just beat the egg and pour it over fish and vegetable on top.
Yeah, this is in later years, but when, you know, when we were hard.
Well, some though, like rutabagas, those that had gardens, you know, they put rutabaga in the onion. The worst pirak I ever had was in Larsen Bay. This woman said, I'm going to make a pirak, and I was real happy. I watched her, she diced the onion, got the rice ready. I was thinking, when is she going to fry the onion? She just sprinkled the onion on top of the fish and rice right on top. I was trying to eat it. I had a hard time, you know, drinking tea. I had a hard time trying to swallow. She didn't even fry the onion.
Do you still make those kind of foods for holidays?
Mm-hmm. And like her, she likes a lot of vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
But that is kind of work. But then like, I used to have a hard time trying to make a crust. But my husband would tell me, you'll learn when you turn 80. And then now, you know, whenever there's drinks, they always ask me if I bake pie or pirak. And I thought my pirak making days are over. I don't have that kind of strength to. But pies, it doesn't take me long.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's easier. And a lot of them think that a cake is easier to bake than. To me, pies.
Mm-hmm. Do you still celebrate Russian Christmas here?
Mm-hmm. Like starry Russian.
Do they still do the starring here?
This year somebody said there's going to have two. Oriya has one, and Betty Lukey, they have star.
Yeah, since I've been here, I know they've had, they've had it. Every January 7th.
Mm-hmm.
One night on this side, the next night. Across there.
Mm-hmm. You know, but I just happened to think too, like we were talking about how we had to carry water and heat it on top of the wood stove, you know, to wash clothes. We didn't have like Clorox, Purex or whatever in those days. And what they do is like sheets and towels and stuff, white stuff, you know, they'd lay it on the ground.
Oh, my mother did
that.
On the grass?
Yeah, on the grass, yeah, like sun.
Yeah.
Like when the sun is shining, you know, or even the rain.
Mm-hmm.
It makes them so white.
Mm-hmm.
When they do
that. Yeah.
They
I just happened to think of it.
And like those flower sacks, you know, the prints. I was the one that used to have to try to get all those, you know, like red.
Yeah,
I remember
we were a big family, and then they'd buy a 50 pound, it was 49 pounds, I remember. It was 49 pounds sack of flour, pop, or the boys would bring home, you know, and bake. It was always homemade bread. And then those flour sacks, yeah. But sometimes some of them were hard to, you know, get off to, especially with no Clorox or Purex. My mama used to make underclothes for us, like bloomers and slips. I remember Sperry flowers. Sperry flower, my bloomer.
Sometimes,
but I do remember though too what the government you know when we were so poor, they'd bring stuff like canned goods, you know,
well, that and during depression
sugar
too.
During depression, like flour and sugar and you know main staples and some canned stuff.
Well, also seagull eggs we used to. Mama used to bake. a new seagull egg.
Is it good? Mm-hmm.
Those
are the
little
blue ones.
They're bigger
than chicken eggs. They're bigger.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I remember that. I don't think I could eat those either. It's been so many years since I've had stuff like that.
Arlene Greggs gave me to different times. I brought them all right, but I wouldn't eat it. Freddy,
so sometimes we went a little too late, too, and then, you know.
They'd be kind of watery.
Watery, and then sometimes it was ready, you know, like the eyes already started.
But then before they get that far, that watery part, I used to like that.
Yeah, like berry picking too. Mama would use a great big dish pan, to make jam, and I remember that she'd be there just stirring.
And in those mama's days, there was no jars. And then whatever, they used to sell moonshine, I guess. And then, you know, the bottle, she'd dip the string into a kerosene and tie it around that, you know, moonshine bottle. And then she'd burn that, and while it's hot, she'd just go like that, and it...
And I remember...
And then, of course, sometimes she'd even kind of filed it. That's when I collect jars now. I always think of Mama, you know, to store jam and stuff.
People were pretty ingenious back then.
And those yellow berries. We call them kashagat.
Kashagat, yeah, Russian berries. Mm. I don't know where they got that from. You've seen those yellow berries.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, we went to our godmother's place, and she planted chicken feed, let the grass grow, and she had dyed eggs during Easter. And Mama took that basket. She said, "Thank you, Nadia Kuyana." That was fine. Our grandmother didn't say anything. And during berry time, that godmother of ours, she came over, and Mama said, "See, I got a gallon of Russian berries." She took that gallon and she said, "Spasiba, thank you." She walked out. Good evening. You know, get angry. Because she was just thinking, I'll fix you up. She was trying to show her those gallon of Russian berries she took.
Nowadays, when they have smoked salmon, they don't give it away like they used to before. They don't. Before, they'd go and ask for smoked salmon like the Christinas, you know, when they would give them away.
Everybody
shared
things.
Now, what is
everybody
it now?
Shared.
20 silver, so I guess, well, a year before, whenever, they were $25 up there.
They just gave them away.
Before.
They shared. Like if somebody went fishing, cod fishing or whatever, salmon, and all they'd have to do is go down the beach. They'd share a lot. Seal, whatever.
You'd go down with a knife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it must have been a lot different. Do you think there's still a lot of traditional ways of doing things that people still do? Or do you think that it's changed a lot?
It sure has
changed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's changed.
Talking about going to Uganic, you know, every fall. I was 17 when I was in the 7th grade. I'm never ashamed to admit.
Sure.
Because I
missed so many months.
So I'd been in the same grade for 2-3 years at the time.
Sure, because you weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even finish 3rd grade. Well, like me, I got stubborn, I got spanked, I was still, I'm not going to go back to school. The teachers aren't suffering, I am.
Oh, another thing too, when we were going to school, it was quite a ways, you know. That was before that other school in Allertown was built. But we had a long ways to walk. lunchtime we'd go home and all we'd have was a cup of tea and bread.
You'd be hungry.
Yeah, like the dried fish, the skin. When there wouldn't be any more dried fish, we'd put it in a flame. Mm. Like, how would you call that?
Shikir is when you just stick them, a fish in them.
Luchta,
something like skin.
We'd put it in. Kind of singed or whatever, and then we'd eat that.
That was a depression year.
It was. And then, like, Mama, she'd cook sugar.
Oh, like, yeah, kind of burn it a little, like canned, like when they drink tea, you know.
Sometimes it would be hard, and one time when Mama made it, it was soft. She must have put the butter in there. Come on, son.
Papa, too, you know, that was after Mama died. We'd go berry picking. First, you know how we mash the berries. We call it chidak. And because we used milk now, but at that time, Papa, he put seal oil. Because the salmon berries, you'd get bound up from them, you know. Mm-hmm. They have big seeds in them. You could see around. Oh, that was terrible. After all that berry picking, and he'd ruined it.
You know, in those days,
Mm-hmm.
you know, in those years, even when it was real hard, did you have social things you did, like dances?
Oh, yeah. We used to have good dances.
And then, like, what would you call it's all gambling, huh?
Gambling.
They had a little two sticks, and one, it just had a little goose, but there was a meaning to the other one, you know, burnt a little bit, and something like that, four, five, six.